Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning business program. Today's cheer is sponsored by Dahlia and David Levy and Dylan Weisberg in memory of their mother, Lillian Levy, Aleha Shalom, and their grandfather, Isaac Levy. And also the learning from the Swiss before Shema for Chaim Yisachar and Chaim Moshe to cover Gadol Yisachar.
The opening Mishnah Maseches Tzachim discusses the obligation of Bedikas Chametz, and it's somewhat unclear from the Gemara exactly what is the purpose of Bedikah, because the Gemara tells us a little bit later, the Daf Daled Beis, that Midaraisa Bito Ba'al Masagi. If you're simply interested in avoiding Bayram Baimatse, one could do so by an act of Tashvisu, simply annulling any Chametz, Bito Chametz, and therefore, Min HaTorah, there should be no reason for anything more. So Tosus explains the very beginning Tosus in Maseches Pesachim, the purpose is because Shemi Yavolidei Akila. Typically speaking, a person is accustomed to eating Chametz all year long, and therefore you'll engage in an act of Bito, but you'll still be surrounded by Chametz. We have to be concerned that Shemi Yavolidei Akila, that you may come to eat the Chametz, and therefore that is the purpose of Bedikas Chametz on a level of Dura. If you look in the Ran gives a somewhat different answer, and that is that we're concerned that if all you're doing is relying on Ditto, a person will not be Mevatel the Chametz Belev Shalim. He has to do so earnestly. And therefore, if all I'm going to do is just simply state that this Chametz in my mind is worthless, and therefore it serves no purpose, but what happens if a person is not doing so wholeheartedly? In that case, he could expose himself to Bayira and Bayimatzeh. And therefore, the Ran points out that is why more, namely a Bedikah, is necessary. And a third possibility, this is what you find in the Rimi Lunil, in Sachim and Daf Beis, that no, it could very well be that the initial Ditto was done appropriately, but imagine you're surrounded by Chametz, and all of a sudden a person has a change of mind, a change of heart on Pesach itself, and all of a sudden he desires this particular Chametz. So therefore, the Rimi Lenil is concerned that Shema Chozer Mibitulo, that maybe a person will retract, will rescind that act of Bito, and therefore it's necessary to do more. Not just simply engage in a Bito Chametz, but simply to rid the house of Chametz, and therefore in active Bedikah. So as mentioned, Tosu's comments, reason number one, the purpose of Bedikas Chametz is Shema Yavolidei Achila. This is acknowledged by the Ran as well, Daf Aleph and Aleph and Daf Harif, and the Ran goes a step further. The Ran mentions this view of Tosus, that the reason for Bedikah is a Gzeira Drabanan Otto Achila, that you may come to eat the Chametz, and then the Ran adds a stunning line. And perhaps it's for this very reason that the Torah forbids Bayira and Bayimatzeh. The reason the Torah forbids any ownership of Chametz is a gzera shema yavlidei achimah. See, according to Tosus, you understand very well, because Tosus is dealing with Bedikas Chametz, which is only drabanan. So it's very common that very often you find that dinim drabanan gzeros are because shema yavo. They are precautionary. But the Ran goes a step further. The Ran is not addressing simply the Bedikas Chametz drabanan. The Ran is talking about the Torah prohibitions of Bayram Baimatzeh. And even that, the Ran points out, perhaps is a siyag atu achila. After all, we're not allowed to eat chalev, we're not allowed to eat basa b'chala, but why is it here that the Torah forbids possession of chametz? Because a person is not accustomed to eating chalev, a person is not used to eating basa b'chala, you are used to eating chametz, and therefore the Torah forbids Bayram Baimatzeh. But this is a fascinating model of something which is called a siyag daraisa. We usually think that the whole concept of a siyag is a gzeir, is only a din drabanan. And here you have an example where the Torah itself will create two yisuri daraisa, bayram baymatzeh, and what is the purpose? Because shema yavlidei achila. So that's a fascinating possibility, that ownership of chametz is not an independent prohibition, but it's driven by the fear that you may come to eat chametz on Pesach. So this statement is a fascinating one, and perhaps it is manifest la'alacha as well. You know, if you look in the Rambam, Paragala Falacha Beis, if it was Chametz Aratza, the Rambam writes, if a person is Maniach Chametz Peshusa, if a person possesses Chametz during Pesach, he will violate the prohibitions of Bayi Rambam Matzeh, and then the Rambam adds the phrase, Va'afal Pi Shalo Ochlo. Even if it turns out that he doesn't quite come to eat the chametz, isn't that obvious that that's true? Why would you think that you only violate Bayram by Matzeh if you end up eating the chametz? The answer is, as we'll see, the Rambam seems to argue as the Ran. What is driving Bayram by Matzeh is the siyag daraisa atu achila, and therefore the Rambam stresses, but realize you will nonetheless violate these isurim even if you do not come actually to consume the chametz itself. If you look at the Gemara a little bit later on Daf Membeis, the Gemara discusses taruvos chametz. What about chametz in combination? Clearly, one is not allowed to eat that chametz, but is there an iser of possession of Bayi Rambam Matzeh when it comes to taruvos chametz? So this is a machlokes Rashi and Tosus. Rashi writes, yes. And Tosus quotes the view of Rabbeinu Tam that disagrees and says no. It's interesting, the Rambam writes that yes, you can violate Bayi Rambam Matzeh even for Taruvos Chametz. This Rambam is found to Chos Chametz HaMatzeh, Taradal HaLach HaChess. And Magid Mishnah qualifies that view. The Magid Mishnah writes that when is that the case that a person will violate Bayi Rambam Matzeh for a Taruvos Chametz? He writes, it's only if the Taruvos is a Kazayis, the Tov Kedei Achilas Pras. Only if the concentration is as such that in principle a person could consume a kazayis within that window of achila. In other words, a person could possess a kazayis of chametz, but if it's so interspersed that you couldn't consume the kazayis tokid achilas pras, you would not violate bayira and bayimatse. And perhaps one of the explanations is because, well, the Ran writes, what is driving the isra bayira and bayimatse is a siyav shemo yavli de achila. The isra achila is if you consume a kazayis betokide achilas pras. And perhaps this substantiates that this indeed is the view of the Rambam as well. You know, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam maintains that Bayi Rambam Matzeh is only for absolute chametz be'en and not for teruvos chametz. Maybe one could understand the view of Rabbeinu Tam along these lines as well. After all, perhaps what is driving Bayi Rambam Matzeh is Isra Achila, and I would qualify with one word, the Isra Achila Shiesh Bo Kareis. Only when kareis, that's when the Torah forbids Bayi Rambam Matzeh. Even if teruvos chametz is forbidden, but this kareis, Rabbeinu Tam maintains, is only on absolute chametz kamor. And if that is true, perhaps it is only then that the Torah creates the additional isurei drabanan of bayirah and baal imatzeh. So therefore, teruvos chametz is a stunning example of a possible difference as to whether Bayi Rambam Matzeh is an independent iser or whether it is driven by the iser achila itself. There's another Ran. This Ran is found on Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yarif in Mesaches Pesachim, where the Ran comments as follows. You know, the Gemara in Beis on Daf Zayin distinguishes between chametz as opposed to seor, and the Gemara says that seor is something that inherently, like a sourdough, is not necessarily fit to be consumed. And nonetheless, you will violate Bayira and Baal Yimatzeh. So the Ran is very bothered by the following question, that why are you chayif for Bayira and Baal Yimatzeh? After all, the Ran writes, let's assume you have nevela which is not fit to eat. There's no prohibition of consumption of nevela if it's something which is not raya l'achila. It has to be something which is called ru'uya l'ger. So why should there be a prohibition of Bayi Rambam Matzeh if something is not fit for human consumption? That's the question that the Ran raises. Now, one could address that question and argue as follows. I understand. If you're dealing with an Isra Achila, like nevela, you're not going to be chayiv if something is not fit for human consumption. But here we're not talking about achila, we're talking about Bayram Baymatse. Why would one think that Bayram Baymatse is dependent on whether it is fit to eat or whether it is not? The answer apparently is, this is exactly the view of the Ran. If what is driving Bayram Baymatse is the concern of Shamayav Libe Achila, how could you be chayef for Bayram Baymatse if something is not fit to eat? And you know, the Ravid disagrees. And the Ravid maintains, in the very beginning of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, that whether something is fit for human consumption is irrelevant when it comes to Bayra and Baymatse. But you understand why the Ran is troubled. If what is driving Bayram Baymatse is a siyagat to achila, and something is not fit for human consumption, why in the world would the Torah insist that you cannot own? And the Ran writes, you know what the answer to that question is because sa'or, it's true, technically speaking, is not fit to eat, but yachol lechameya isos acheros. It has the property of causing chimutz, and therefore a yeast or a sourdough can cause something else to become chametz, and therefore the Torah says that it is forbidden even to own sa'or as well. But if I were to ask you, is it relevant that the sa'or is or is not fit to eat? Apparently the answer is exactly that point. Well, it depends on the nature of bayra and Bayimatse. After all, to what extent is Bayram Baymatse driven by the concern of Shamayav Lide Achila? And therefore, if that is the view of the Ran, you understand very well the question that indeed the Ran would pose. You know, if you look in the Sukkim Sakim and Davzayim, in Beitz and Davzayim, the Gemara Beitz quotes Machlokis between Beisil and Beishamai. What exactly is the source and what is the shear of Bayram Baymatse? What exactly is the shear? Fascinating that Beishamai's view is that the shear of Bayram Baymatse is not a kazayis. But you know, whenever the Torah tells us that one can or cannot eat, achila always is a kazayis. So therefore the Torah tells us you must eat matzah, the shear is a kazayis. You cannot eat nevela, the shear is a kazayis. You're not about to eat on Yom Kippur, but the Torah doesn't use the term achila. Nowhere does the Pasuk tell us expressly that eating is forbidden on Yom Kippur. The Torah tells us, kol ha'shelo se'une betzem yom hazeh. The Torah tells us, v'inisim es nafshoseichem. You have to afflict yourself, and part of the affliction is refraining from eating and drinking, but the Torah never uses the term achila. And guess what? The shir of achila on Yom Kippur is not a kazayis. It's a larger shear, which is a koseve sagasa, because achila always goes hand in hand with kazayis. Let's assume, for example, a person makes a shvuah. Shvuah shelo ochal lechem. I will not eat bread. What is the shear? A kazayis. Let's say a person makes a neder that he won't eat bread. He doesn't mention the word achila. Konem alai kikar zeh. This loaf is forbidden to me. The shear is not a kazayis. Kazayis is always predicated on the word achila. So when it comes to Bayram Baymatse, the Torah mentions ownership, but the Torah never mentions anything about achila. So you know what? Beishamai maintains that the shear of Bayram Baymatse is not a kazayis. The shear of Bayram Baymatse is like Yom Kippur. The shear is a large one of a kosevis. And they still disagree. The shear of Bayra and Baymatse of Chametz is a kazayis. How do you know it's a kazayis? So the Gemara writes a very brief statement. The Gemara in Beitza, Dozaino Deis, Yalfinan Biur Me'achila. We compare the Bayra and Baymatse to achila, but the Gemara doesn't explain in what sense is that true. Well, according to the Rambam, you understand very well what is driving the Yisur of Bayra and Baymatse is a siyag unto achila. And therefore makes perfect sense to assume, well, you know what? Whatever the shear of achila will be, that will be the shear of Bayram Baymatse. And even though the Torah doesn't use the actual term of achila, but if that is the nature of this of Bayram Baymatse, so therefore understandably, as we assume, l'halacha, it is not only the shear of achila, but it is even the shear of Bayram Baymatse itself. So therefore many different possibilities as to understanding the relationship between Bayram Beimatzeh and the Isser Achila. If you look in the Sefer Minchas Baruch Semen Mem, he raises the following question. What we're stating is a very great Kiddush. The Torah tells us that you cannot possess chametz. And we're arguing, well, the reason for this prohibition is because you may come to eat it. And therefore we're arguing that we are going to define, limit, or expand the scope of the halacha based on this reason. And therefore I'm going to argue, well, you know what, it only applies to chametz be'en, it doesn't apply to chametz teruvos. Or maybe it only applies to chametz teruvos when it's a kazayis tov kedei achilas pras, or the shira bayar b'matzeh is going to be the same shira as achila. All of that, seemingly, is based on the assumption that the reason for bayram b'matzeh is shemiyav lidei achila. And one could raise the following question, can we be so bold as to assume, well, you know what, this is the reason for the halacha? And limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on the reason? Only if the reason applies, then yes. And if the reason doesn't apply, then no. Isn't that a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Something which is termed Darshinan Taima Dekra. Do we have a right to argue, well, this is the reason for the halacha, and therefore we will, let's say, limit the scope of the halacha based on the reason? Rabbi Shimon says yes, but you know what? We don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon fully. We assume as Rabbi Yehuda, which is Lo Darshinan Taima Dekra. This is a Mishnah of Metzia Kufta as well, where the Mishnah fascinating machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Lo Sachvo Beged Amana. The Torah tells us the following: a woman has lost her husband. She comes to you for a loan. Grant her that loan and do not demand a collateral from her. Rabbi Shimon maintains the following, that this prohibition only applies to a woman who is an aniya, who is impoverished. And that's what the Torah is speaking about. A woman who is destitute, who is coming to you in need, you're going to demand a collateral. What is she going to be able to give you? Right? The Torah describes, no, she'll give you her clothing as a collateral. So therefore, grant her the loan without insisting on imashkum. But Rabbi Shimon maintains, but let's assume she is quite a wealthy woman. You know, her husband died but left her, right, large estate. And she's coming to borrow in order to simply do business. Rabbi Shimon says, then you're allowed to exact a collateral. And Rabbi Yehuda says, absolutely not. Amana, bein shi'aniya, bein shi'ashira, ein mimashkin enosa. What exactly is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara explains, it revolves around this point of whether darshinan or lo darshinan time of the crowd. The Torah says no. Do I have a right to say, well, the reason is because of A? And then I'll go a step further and limit the scope of the halacha based on the reason. Well, then it only applies to a woman who is an aniya, not a woman who is an ashiya. And Rabbi Shimon says yes. And Rabbi just says that, oh look, we have to do our best to understand the reasons for mitzvahs. Understanding a mitzvah enhances our performance of the mitzvah. It's part of our obligation of Talmud Torah. But you have no right to limit the scope of the halacha based on the reason if the Torah says no. The Torah says no. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon maintains Darshinan, we disagree and maintain as Rabbi Yud. That Gemara of Metzia Kuptesvav raises the following issue. The Torah tells us, when it comes to a melech lo yar b'lo nashi, a melech is not allowed to have an excessive number of wives. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yisa, it's okay if he does, u'bavad shalo yehei mesiro saslivo. As long as you make sure that they will not detract him, they will not turn him away from the Torah session. That sounds like Darshin and time of the crop. The Torah says no, and Rabbi just says, yes, you can do so as long as you make sure that the reason doesn't apply. So the Gemara asks Astira. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who maintains that lo darshin and time of the crop. And here, when it comes to the Abba Nashim, Rabbi Yehuda says, darshin and time of the crop. So the Gemara gives a fundamental answer. Wait a second. Look in the Pasuk. When it comes to lo sach bo beger amana, the Torah doesn't tell us why. The Torah tells us, lo sach bo beger amana, period. When it comes to liyar b'lo nashin, the Torah tells us, that lo yosel abavo. The reason is written in the Chumash itself. And the Gemara writes this incredible principle that the machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, when does Rabbi say no? That's if the tam is not the furish b'kra. But if the Torah goes out of its way and emphasizes the reason, then Rabbi will agree. The reason is built into the very fabric of the halacha, and then of course, darshin and tam d'kra. And therefore it's always important to ask yourself, whether it's a mitzvah sasei, or whether it's a mitzvah slo sasei, the reason, is it built in, or is the reason something which is apart from the pasuk itself? That's an important principle. The Rush, for example, writes as follows, the very beginning of Uchos, Ksiva Sefer Torah. What the Sefer Chinuch writes is the last of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Kisvu lachem es Hashir HaZos, write Sifrei Torah. The Rishonim are quite bothered. In their time already, people were not in the practice of writing their own Sefer Torah. Why exactly is that the case? Well, so the Rush writes an astounding answer, because after all, in earlier times, they used to learn from the Sifrei Torah that they wrote. The Rush writes, in our time, that is not true. People are not utilizing the Sifrei Torah themselves for the purpose of limud, and therefore the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah will be fulfilled in other ways, writing or acquiring Sifrei Kodesh, but not necessarily through actually writing a Sefer Torah. In other words, the Rush writes, the very essence, the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah is to facilitate limud HaTorah, and as such, the focus of the mitzvah could shift. How did the Rush know to argue that that's true? The simpler understanding of the Rush is, well, the Pasuk tells us, Kisvu lachem es Hashir HaZos, but then the Pasuk continues, V'lamdas b'nei Yisrael, Sima b'fiim, in order to facilitate limud HaTorah. And therefore the Tam is considered to be that which is built in. The Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav that normally speaking, kavar sikberenu b'yom hahu, that if a person dies, or even if a person is put to death, that's the context of the pasuk, a person who is killed by Bezdin, right, the person has to be buried immediately. Why? Because if not, if you allow just simply halana sameis, a person remains and is not buried immediately, kilas elokim toli, it's considered to be a bizayon to the individual and to the tzelem elokim that the person in fact possesses. That's again a fascinating chiddush, that apparently there is tzelem elokim that applies even to one who is put to death by Beis Din for violating Din of Asha. Tzelem Elokim has two aspects to it. Now, on the one hand, it is an absolute, that each person possesses Tzelem Elokim. On the other hand, that Chaviv Adam Shnibra B'Tzelem, it's a mandate, it's a challenge to a person, right, to develop, to refine, to live up to the standard of Tzelem Elokim. But even if a person falls short, but there's an absolute, there's an objective Tzelem Elokim that requires immediate Kvura, because if not, Ebizayim. The Mishnah tells us true, the Pasuk tells us that you have to bury immediately, but what happens if what happens if burial is delayed for the purpose of kavod hameis, something that is commonly done? The Mishnah tells us that that's allowed. How can it be allowed? The Pasuk says no, and the Mishnah says yes. Apparently the answer is exactly that point. The Torah tells us the very time, do not delay burial, because that will result in bizui hameis, a bizayon to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Well, what happens if the very purpose of delaying a burial is to ensure Kavod HaMeis? That's a case where Darshin and Taim Dekra, where the reason is considered to be that which is explicit. The same thing applies when it comes to Mitzvah Sasei as well. We've discussed often, Sukkot time, that the Tur, the Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Chafei, devotes an entire simon to the significance of Sukkot. Pretty unusual. No? What is the purpose of the mitzvah of sukkah? What should you have in mind when you sit in sukkah? You know, these are important, but it's not so common to have an entire siman in Shulchan Aruch devoted to the message, the meaning, the significance of. So the Bach points out that, you know, you shouldn't be so surprised, because if all the Torah would tell us is a sukkah's teshu shivas yom, just sit in sukkah, okay, so the Shulchan Aruch would say, just sit in sukkah. But the Torah doesn't only say that. Why? L'man yedu d'orosechem, because sukkah so shafti. The Torah goes out of its way and emphasizes the reason for sitting in sukkah. And if the Torah emphasizes the reason for the mitzvah, you know what? You better have that in mind. To the extent that the Bach writes you don't fully fulfill the mitzvah, if you don't have that in mind, and the Bikra Yaakov, the Rachmaneh writes, you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all. That mindset is indispensable. Because if the Torah says, do this in order that, well, you better realize that, no? And here if the Torah writes, Laman Yidu Darosechem, that's a type of Talmid Akra which is Mefurish Akra. And you know what? You'll find this in two other places as well, in Simen Ches, when it comes to Tzitzis, and Simen Chafei, when it comes to Tefillin. You know what the common denominator is of Sukkah, Tzitzis, Tefillin? In all three cases, the Torah explicitly writes the reason for the mitzvah. When it comes to tzitzis, there as well, the Torah tells us, "Urisim also, uzachartim es kol mitzvos asen." So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes, you should have that mind when you're wearing the tzitzis, that you're enveloped by the tzitzis, as a reminder that one is surrounded by the mitzvos Hashem. When it comes to tefillin, the very end of Parshas Bo, the Torah tells us, "Mamantia Torah Hashem beficha." Tefillin is a reminder. The Torah should always be fluent in our mouth. It's a reminder of the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and it's important to be mindful of these things simply because the Torah emphasizes the reason. Whenever the reason is explicit, the reason is not extrinsic, extraneous, but the reason is inherent, intrinsic to the performance of the mitzvah itself. So therefore it's always important to be aware of whether the tam is mefurish b'kra, or whether in fact it is man. But what about when it comes to Bayram by Matzi, ownership of chametz? Well, you know, in Parshas Bo, the Torah tells us, like we learned yesterday, that now that Se'or lo yimatzi b'vateichem, a person is not allowed to possess chametz and se'or. And then the pasuk continues, ki kol ochel achmetzes v'nichlesa. The Torah says, don't possess chametz. And the Torah continues and tells us that if you eat it, right, you're chayav paris. And the Torah tells us, ki, as though that the seifa dekra, the achila, is a nisinas tam, is a reason for nisra bayra and bayamatze. Oh, well, apparently, that's the chiddush that the Ran writes. That's how the Barbanel interprets the pasuk in Parshas Bo. That's what the Tzam Sofer quotes, the name of Avnos Nava, that the tam is mefurish bekra. The Torah says, don't possess, because if you eat, you're chayav karis. It sounds as though that this rabbi or bayamatze is a siyagatu achila. And if it's true that that's the meaning of the pasuk, it's in the sinas tam, this is an example of a case where the tam is explicit, it's mefurish bekra. And then as he pointed out, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree as well, that there's shinan tam in the krav. It's similar to the case of a melech, where the tam is mefurish bekra. It's like ksiva sefer Torah, it's like kalana sameis, where if the reason is emphasized, that itself is built in. One could go a step further and argue as follows, and this is a fascinating chiddush that you find in the Rush, Shit Mekubetzes Bav Metzia and Daf Zadi. The Torah tells us that if a person has an animal, and the animal is working, right, for us, the animal is plowing, the Torah tells us there's an isra of chasima, lo sachsom shor bedisho, you're not allowed to muzzle that animal. Highly unfair. That the animal is working, and the animal cannot simply have the free rein in order to graze and to eat as he's doing so. So therefore the Torah tells us there's an isra of chasima. That's quite an important isra, because that's the model of Malkus. Because there the Torah juxtaposes Arbaim Yakenu. And therefore the juxtaposition of Chasima and Malkus tells us that is the overriding principle. That when do you get Malkus? When is Solosa say anything which is Dumya Dolav to Chasima. So the Torah tells us Losachsum Shabadisha, one is not allowed to muzzle an animal. So let me paint the following scenario. This is the Gemara Metziah and that's Sadi. An animal is plowing. And this crop is highly detrimental to the animal. If the animal eats it, the animal is going to become quite sick. No? So what would you do? So I'm going to argue, irrespective of that fact, that the Torah says that you're not allowed to lasaf some shabbadisha. So therefore, you have to allow the animal to go in to graze and to eat and get sick and to die. No, that's the din daraisa. Or would one argue, no, not necessarily true. What is driving lasaf some shabbadisha is the concern that one has to be careful, one has to be conscious of the well-being, the betterment of animals. And if it is not at all beneficial for the animal to eat, then there is no iser of chasim. You know, the Gemara writes about Matinda Flamadei is, Tzar Balei Chaim is daraisa. What is the source of Tzar Balei Chaim? Not so clear. But the Shita Chobetzes quotes the Ravid that writes, Losachsam Shabadisha. That's the source of Tzar Balei Chaim. It's a form of a Tzar Balei Chaim to insist that the animal has to work and not to allow the animal to go ahead and to eat. Tzar Balei Chaim. So what if the Tzar Balei Chaim dictates quite the opposite? That here it's appropriate to go in to muzzle the animal? So that's what the Gemara writes in Bav Metzia, one must muzzle the animal. That obviously, the chasima means that it's detrimental to the animal. But if you will tell me that it's for the betterment of the animal to be muzzled, then one does so. That's exactly what the Rambam writes as well. So ask you the following question, but wait a second, the Torah says no. You have a right to say, well, this is the reason, and the Isser only applies when the reason applies, and only if it is detrimental to the animal, then yes, if it's for the betterment of the animal, no, isn't that called Lo Darshin and Taimed Akra? And here, the Torah doesn't tell us the reason, the Torah just simply tells us Lo Saf Som Shor B'disho. So the Rush writes a pretty amazing, amazing Chiddush. You know what the Rush writes? The Torah doesn't have to tell us the reason. The reason is obvious. The reason is apparent. If the reason is so obviously clear, then also everyone agrees that Darshin and Taim is the ground. Sometimes it's necessary for the Torah to emphasize the reason. Sometimes it's not even necessary at all. And then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Darshin and Taim is the ground if the reason is obvious. So one could argue in a twofold sense. Maybe when it comes to Bayram Beimotzei, one could argue the reason is mafush b'kra, because that's the meaning of the pasuk in the parsha's bow. Even short of interpreting the pasuk in that way, maybe one could argue, but isn't it obvious? There are many things the Torah tells you cannot eat. You can't eat basar b'chalav and you can't eat chalev. But why all of a sudden here, when it comes to chametz, does the Torah tell us that you can't even possess? You know what the answer is? It's because lo b'dile inishmanei, because you're accustomed to eating chametz all year long, and shem yavlidei achima. Maybe that is so sufficiently obvious that it's not necessary for the pasuk to highlight that point. But this is the view of the Ran. This is the view of the Rambam. That by Rambam is the siyag atu achim. With this in mind, maybe one can answer the following question. We mentioned earlier the sugya beis adav zayin machlokes between beisila beishamai. What is the shear of Bayram Baymatse of Chametz? Is it a kazayis or is it a kosevitz? Larger. Okay. I'll ask you the following difficulty. What are they arguing about? What exactly are they arguing about? Whether the shear is this or whether the shear is that? See, the difficulty is as follows. Normally, when you argue about shearing, what does it mean? And you'll ask me, what is the shear of Nevelim? I'll tell you what difference does it make. Right. Well, I want to know how much I can eat. I want to eat beneath the threshold of. I'll tell you, no. The Gemara writes, Yimadafayim Dalet, even Chatzi Shir is Asim in HaTorah. You can't even eat the smallest amount. That also is Nisa Daraisa. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So you want to eat, you can't eat the smallest amount. So he'll tell me, no, but how much do I have to eat in order to get Malkus? For eating the Vela? Okay, you're right. Shiurim are Halachos in Onshin. But how much do you have to eat in order to, right, get Malkus? Okay, you're right. So even though Minhatar you can eat the smallest amount of Nevela, Malkus is only if you eat a Kazayis. Good. You know what the difficulty is as follows? Is there Malkus for Bayram Bayimatse? So there are two very good reasons that there shouldn't be Malkus. Now, two of yourselves from the Gemara Daf Tzarihei Masachas Pesachim. Good. One reason is as follows. It's a lav anitek lesei. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to own. But now there's an essay of Tashbisa. And Tosus writes, based on what the Gemara tells us, that there's no malchus for Bayram by Matzeh because it is a lav hanitek le'esei, just as those sigzal and the heishiv is agzeder shergozal, there's nisra Bayram by Matzeh, and there's a mitzvah tashmis. So somewhat of a chiddush, but Tosus writes, based on the Gemara, this is also Rashi Shita, that no malchus for Bayram by Matzeh because it's a lav hanitek le'esei. The Rambam gives another reason. In Perek Aleph of Chosamit Matzah, there's no malchus for Bayram by Matzah because it's a lav she'en bo maisa. What did you do? You sat back. You failed to rid your house of chametz. So therefore, you violate Bayram by Matzah. But b'shei b'kasa, sitting back and doing nothing. So therefore, there is no malchus because it is a lav she'en bo maisa. So two very, very good reasons why there is no malchus, either because of nitek lasei or alav she'en bo maisa. So I ask you the following question. If chatzi shir is forbidden min haTorah, and there's no malchus even if you own a shir of chametz, so what exactly is machlokas beisilo beishamai? What is the shir of Bayram by Matzeh? Ownership of the smallest amount is forbidden, and ownership of the largest amount doesn't generate malchus. So exactly kind of what are they arguing about now? That's the kashya that the Shagas Aryeh raises. The Shagas Aryeh writes an interesting tradition you find in Prima Gadim as well. Prima Gadim has an introduction to Aruch Chaim, it's called the Psicha Kolelas. The Psicha Kolelas, the Prima Gadim writes an interesting chiddush. Well, since there's a machlokas beisilo beishamai, what is the shir? And since there is no malchus, apparently you see that there's no iser chatzi shir for Bayram by Matzeh. There's no iser of chatzi shir. But why should that be? Why is it that there's no iser of chatzi shir when it comes to Bayram by Matzeh? So the Prima Gadim writes a very interesting finish. Why is Bayram by Matzeh Yasser? He quotes this Ram. It's only a siyag shem yavli day akiva. Why is chatzi shir Yasser? Well, one of the reasons that Gemara points out Yimud Apayin Dalid is because Kevon the Chazi leads to Rufe Isuru Kachil, which the Prima Gadim Rabbi Kmeger explained. You know why you can't eat the smallest amount? Because it will lead to eating Ishir, a siyag Atu Achila B'Kashir. What, you're going to be so careful? You're only going to eat this amount? You're not going to eat that amount? You know what? You might start eating and end up crossing that line, and therefore Chatzi Shir is considered to be Asa. But Rabbi Kneger maintains, and this is the view as well of the Prima Gadim, that Chatzi Shir is only a siyag that you will come to eat a full shir. Interesting chiddush. Yeah. You know, we're used to the concept that Gemara Beis and Daf Gimel, Chachamim have a right to make a gzeira the Rabbana. Shmarti mis mishmarti. But the Chachamim cannot make a gzeira ligzeira. The Chachamim cannot say A is also because it might lead to B, and B is also because it might lead to C, which is forbidden min haTorah. You can't make a gzeira ligzeira. So I raised a fascinating issue. We began by saying there's a concept of a siyag daraisa. Do you ever have a siyag lisiyag daraisa? In other words, maybe the concept of ein gozer gzeira ligzeira is really kein daraisa. Because even though the Torah has a model of a siyag daraisa, but there's no example of a siyag lisiyag, level of daraisa. And that's the chiddush that the Prima Gadim suggests. That you cannot have a siyag v'siyag. And he gives the following example. A nazir is not allowed to drink wine. A nazir is not allowed to have the sediment of the grape. The Midrash writes, why is it that a nazir cannot have the sediment of the grape? It's a siyag otu shtias yayin. Don't eat any part in any shape or form of the grape because it could lead to consumption of wine. So the Prima Gadim writes an interesting chiddush that there's no iser chatzi shir when it comes to mishras anavim for a nazir, because mishras anavim, the wine sediment, is only a siyag, and a chatzi shir is only a siyag. Chatzi shir of mishras anavim is too far removed. A siyag, the siyag. in the Gadim Rais, that's why there's no Isser of Chatzi Shir when it comes to Bayron, Bayimatsi, because that's an example of a Siyag. Masiyag. It's a fascinating model that you have, that perhaps what is driving Bayron by Matzeh is not an independent Isser per se, but rather its relationship with the Isser Achila. And how do you know that that relationship is indeed the case? Either because that's the Pasuk, and then the Parshas Bo, right? Or perhaps because that is obviously why the Torah is so concerned with ownership of Chametz, when the Torah generally is not that concerned with ownership of other forms of machalos aseres. When it comes to chametz, matzah, the whole theme of Yetzias Mitzrayim, no doubt, right, it's something that we focused on during the Yemei HaPesach, but it is something that is expressly relevant during all of Chodesh Nisan itself. You know, that just as different days have a different character, there's a Kedusha Sayom of Shabbos, a Kedusha of Yantif, the same thing is true with the months of the year as well. Not every month, right, has the same nature, the same character, the same flavor. Now, you know, the Mishnah tells us, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Nisimcha, Mishenichnas Av Mematin Nisimcha, but you find many other examples as well. You show me the very beginning of Maseches Megillah, quotes the sheet of Rabbi Nassan, that one could fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah during the entire month of Adar. Entire Chodesh. Because doesn't the Pasuk say in the Megillah that HaChodesh Asher Ne'epach Lahem Miyagol Nesimcha? The Torah describes the transformation of the month, not only the transformation of the day. If you look at the Gemara Chagigan Daf Tes, the Gemara mentions, when do you offer Korban Chagiga? So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Bachodesh Hashvi Tachogu Oso. Maybe one could offer Korban Chagiga throughout the entire month of Yantif. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, also to tell us, no, that's not true. Chagiga An Yantif. But again, the Gemara says one would have envisioned that the entire month is an appropriate time to go ahead and to do so. Rav Shimon Gamliel writes that for the entire month of Nisan, Sholim Vidarshim Vayona Shayom, a person should involve himself in Dini HaPesach from Rosh Chodesh and beyond, already the Chodesh of. After all, doesn't the Pasuk say in Parshas Kisisa, it's in Shmos and Perak Lamedalid, after all, the Chodesh HaAviv Yatzasa Mimitzrayim. Already, during the Chodesh of, that's the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. And what better proof than what we recite at the Haggadah, Yachom Erosh Chodesh. There's a mitzvah d'arais of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. And if not for a pasuk of Bayomahu, I would have argued that already from Rosh Chodesh and beyond, one could go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. All of this emphasizes the quality, not merely of a day, but the quality of a chodesh. The Netziv writes, name it Dovran, that very pasuk, the chodesh of it, that you know there's a character of a month, and there's a special nature, a special character, Chodesh Nisan. And he writes that, Ki kol ha-chodesh mesugo lahashris bo emunah b'Hashem. What is the mandate? What is the nature? What is the character of Chodesh Nisan? We understand the Chodesh Adar, Chodesh Av. What is the character of Nisan? And that is emunah and bitachon b'Hashem. No, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim tells us. And the Ramban and Parshas Bo, the whole essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to be mindful of Chasdei Hashem and to recognize that everything that occurs is a result of Hashgachas Hashem, and therefore the Avoda of Chodesh Nisan is that sense of Emunah Bitachon. And that is part of that element of uniqueness of Chodesh Nisan, the concept of Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Azalachem Rosh Chodeshim, what we just learned this past Shabbos. You know, there's a fascinating comment that Rabbi Yonah has in the very end of the fourth parak of Brachos, Atilas HaShachar, that when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, when it comes to the concept of Chodesh, right, the main player, obviously, is the Levana. Right? The Molad HaLevana determines the onset of Rosh Chodesh itself. And what is so special about the Levana. I would give just simply the following illustration. Let's assume, for example, a child were to ask you, isn't the Levana amazing? It constantly changes its shape. No? I look in the sky at this time of month, the Levana is quite full. And you look at the beginning of the month, the Levana, is only a crescent. No, so whereas, the sun looks pretty constant. No, the Levana always is changing its size and its shape and its form and the like. And you would kind of correct the child and you would say, that really certainly is not true. The Levana is fixed and it is set. You know what changes? What changes is simply our perspective, how we perceive the Levana, our vision. Our vision is not always constant and consistent. The Levana obviously is, but from different vantage points, we perceive things a little bit differently. And you'll try to explain to the one who asks such a question that, it's true. All you're seeing is a crescent. But that's only because of our limited vision and limited perspective. Rabbi Yonah writes, without that mashal, that that's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel nisatim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change in any shape or form. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nature, his essence, his graciousness, the midos Hashem, are fixed. They are set. They are kviya v'kaima. But you know what? From our vantage point of quite limited vision, sometimes it appears as though that is not always the case. That sometimes a person can perceive Hashkafas Hashem in the fullest, right? And sometimes it seems as though the Yad Hashem is somewhat eclipsed. And all a person can perceive is simply a shadow of, or a crescent shape. But one obviously knows that it's not the Levana. It's merely our perception, our perspective of. And that is absolutely the case when it comes to elements of Emunah and Bitachon. That any question that one would have is a function of our perception of Esther Panim. If you were there, you would see that the Levana is intact. And if a person would have that level of absolute emun and bitachon, will be obvious to us that the Hashgachas Hashem is apparent even at times when it doesn't seem as obvious as others. And therefore, that's the lesson of the Chiddush HaLevana. The Levana waxes and wanes not inherently, but simply from a matter of perspective. And the uniqueness of Levana is that the Levana is able to be seen, especially in Choshech, in order to teach us exactly that even in the Cheshkas HaGolos, when it can experience that great sense of Hashras HaShchina as well. And therefore, that's why that is considered to be so prevalent, in order to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel nistater, that the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that is obvious, but the manifestations from our limited vision are something that are not always fully, fully consistent. And that, no doubt, is our challenge, to be able to seek consistency in Emunah and Bitachon, despite the fact that somehow it's limited. I had once described at length a mitzvah of Kriya Shema, of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim, followed by Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso. And why is it that we recite Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso immediately after Kriya Shema? One possibility is that, that's just simply Divrei Shevach. You hear the Shem Amforah, Shavuot Hashem HaKippurim, you respond, Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso. Whenever you invoke Shem Hashem, so if you're Makabla, Malchu Shamayim, it's appropriate to affix some type of Shevach. But you know what, from the Shulchan Aruch it appears, not necessarily that's the case. That the Baruch Shem Kol Malchuso is a part of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim, not just simply secondary, ancillary Divrei Shevach, but it's part of. In what sense is it part of? The answer seems to be exactly this point, that we're called upon of Kabbalah Samalchu Shamayim. But that how is it we perceive what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Rambam writes, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our reach. How is it that we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What the answer is? Through the manifestations of Hashgachas Hashem. In other words, if I were to answer in two words, how is it that one appreciates and fathoms HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How is it that one is able to? The answer is Kavod Malchusa. Kavod Malchusa. We see the glory, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see these manifestations, and that is our Kabbalah soul, Malchus Shamayim. And therefore we realize that the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our reach, beyond our grasp, but we can perceive Kavod Malchusa. We see Nisim Guyim. We see Nisim Nistarim. We see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done and continues to do. HaMechadish Betuva B'choyam Tovid Ma'aseh Breishis. And that elicits that sense of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And that, no doubt, is the challenge. That part of Chiddush HaLavana. Why the Levana plays such an important role in determining the Chodesh, in determining the onset of each and every Yontif. And it represents an amazing transition. That you know, this was the mitzvah Rishon Rashi writes, Shenitzdavu Bo Yisrael, HaChodesh HaZalachem. You know, if you were to turn to Bnei Yisrael, who were these people? These were individuals who, for generations, were avadim. And if you were to ask, what is the plight of an Eved? I think we would all agree that there's one thing an Eved does not control, and that is his time. An Eved does not make up his own schedule. An Eved, as Tosfos writes, is Omenes Rabbo, Ben Beyom, Ben Belayla. An Eved doesn't own time. No? An Eved Kanani is exempt from any time Bal Mitzvah. No, time is not considered to be his own in any shape or form. And you take a nation of Avadim, where they are completely subservient to time. And all of a sudden you tell them, HaChodesh HaZalachem, which means that you're now endowed with a Kedushas Yisrael that allows you not merely to appreciate time, but to be Mekadesh this month. HaChodesh HaZalachem. No, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. It's a transformation, it's a metamorphosis, no? Of an Eved who is now able to be Mekadesh this month in order to declare that now it is considered to be Yantif. That is part of what the Chiddush HaLavana is supposed to represent for us. And therefore, that notion that you have is considered to be that which is critical. And therefore, not surprising at all, the first tzivui given to Knesset Yisrael at this time is Kiddush HaZman, precisely to be Mekadesh Chodesh Nisan, right, the time which is Nisugo Lahashrisbo Kemuna Bashem, because that is the essence of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim is not merely valuable to us because of the immediacy, right, of the Nisim that occurred, but it's because these Nisim serve as a foundation that allows us to recognize Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu Hashkochas Hashem in every aspect that you have of day-to-day life. Therefore, we understand very well HaChodesh, right? The concept of the Chodesh HaAviv, Yatzasa Mimitzrayim, the concept of Yochol Merosh Chodesh, the fact that Nisan itself is invested with these qualities. It's not really that we didn't say Tachanun this morning. It means that this is a moment that you have of taking a step back and recognizing Hashkachas Hashem in its fullest sense. I often comment to the men in the shul that, you know, the women know very well that you can't wait until Erev Pesach to start doing Hachana. Now, already weeks in advance, one has to prepare for Pesach to make sure in the Dini Chametz Amas everything is exactly so. We have our Surah Shabbos, the Shabbos in the kitchen already. Everything already is Pesach. Now, you realize that, you know, a window of time is necessary. A window of time is necessary for the hachan of experiencing Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you kind of think that that's going to be something that you'll do, you know, at the very beginning of the Seder, something that Yochol Merosh Chodesh. We even pass like the Chachamim Shloshim Yom. No, but Rosh Shimon Gamliel writes, at least Rosh Chodesh and beyond is the time that one has to hone one's vision in order to be able to appreciate rather than express form the nisim and the flows that we experience at the time Hillel say this. This is part of Hachana. Begin, right, with the Bayron, by Matzah, with the Chametz and Matzah, with the Cholas, Tashvisu, but certainly all of this is a tool, a vehicle to be able to properly appreciate Kvod Malchuso, because that's the essence of how it is that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the uniqueness of what we attempt to do during this time of Chodesh Nisan.
Oh, I want to ask you. My yeshiva's daughter, and this is Mary.